The first scripture reading for this fourth Sunday after the Pentecost is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, and you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You shall nurse. You shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. He shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the sixth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Continuing at verse 14, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. But do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. One who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. I rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your epistle lesson for today from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. This is our text. While we live in this world of sin, conflicts are inevitable. A battle, if you will, between right and wrong. But while Scripture is clear on what is right and what is wrong, how we do battle as Christians ought to be different than the way the world does battle. One of the primary reasons why our battle tactics, if you will, ought to be different is because we have different goals. Our goal as Christians is not just do it my way because. Now, I know we have a lot of parents out here in the congregation. How many of you ever asked your children to do so and they questioned you and your answer was, because I said so? Yeah. Thank God that that's not the way he works with us. Or because I said so, or else. You see, in God's dealings with us and in the way that God wants us to deal with others, the goal is not simply, if you will, to get her done. The primary goal is to change hearts. You know, I've often remarked before, you know, the right understanding of the word repent is not to change what somebody is doing. You know, the word repent literally means in the Greek to change a mind. And in the goal of changing minds, changing hearts, the law is not the tool that accomplishes that. Now, definitely the Word of God is law and gospel, and there are times that we have to use law in dealing with people. But, you know, the word gentleness does not seem to be synonymous with the word law. It seems more like a gospel kind of approach to situations. Because it is the gospel ultimately that changes hearts. You know, it's not that long ago, just previous week, where our nation was thrown into conflict. Essentially over a question of what's right and what's wrong. As the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and had been somewhat anticipated through the leaking of that opinion, a lot of anger, some violence has been unleashed in our world. Now, it's sad to say that throughout recent history, there have been times when certain misguided groups of Christians have done things that Christ would not commend in order to change opinions. But by and large, our approach to this question of right and wrong, question of human life, when it begins, has been a lot different than those, if you will, who disagree with us. Now, how many of you have ever been driving down the road and you've seen a sign, something like, celebrate life, and it has like a little baby or something on it? How many of you have seen this? They're all around. Hard to miss. What a horrible, insulting, terrible sign that is. Celebrate life. You and I don't think that, obviously. But if you look at some of the things that have been written on those signs as of late, some treat it that way. As this simply saying that life is beautiful, that life is something to be celebrated, is some kind of cruel imposition on others. But that's the kind of way that God would want us to talk. It's aimed at winning a battle, and not simply a battle to just get it done. It's a message aimed at changing hearts and minds. Scattered throughout the United States and probably in other places around the world are centers for helping women who have an unplanned pregnancy. Last time I checked, they don't go out into the street, look for a pregnant woman, and drag her in at gunpoint, trying to convince her to do something else with that child in her womb. And yet there's been vandalism, violence, arson, committed against such institutions that are just created to help. We have a different way of combating sin in the world. And it's not because I said so or else. Yes, the law of God at some point in time, in different situations, has to be brought to bear. But even God, in his dealings with sinful man, doesn't always begin there. I was having a Bible study this last Wednesday, due to the illness of our DCE Darcy, with the ladies' group. We're going through God's interactions with Moses when he called him to lead the people of Israel. And it was somewhat fascinating to read again through that encounter of God with Moses when God wanted Moses to do something. And if you go back and you read through the Exodus 3 account, it's amazing how patient God was with Moses when God was absolutely clear as to what he wanted to do. Now, Moses was out in the wilderness, if you will, leading flocks of sheep because he had murdered someone back in Egypt and had to flee for his life. Really, and when you think about it, not the kind of material you think you'd want to use to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and yet God chose Moses. And he appears to him in this burning bush, and although the bush is burning, it's not being consumed. What an amazing sign. And God calls to him, "Moses, Moses," and tells him what he wants Moses to do. Now, if you saw a burning bush and you heard a voice coming out of it and it was God, and God said, "This is what I want you to do," what would you do? Well, hopefully you'd say, "Oh, okay, God, I get it." But that's not how Moses reacted. Before God, he argued. He came up with excuse upon excuse. "Well, God, I don't even know what your name is. What if I go to these people and they say, 'What's his name?' What do I tell them?" God doesn't say, "Doesn't matter, just go." He gives him his name. "I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent you." But that's not good enough for Moses. And he continues to argue with God. "You know, but how are they going to believe me? You know, I'm just this Moses guy who ran away. And again, God doesn't say, just shut up, go. He gives Moses two signs to perform before the people, that they might believe in him. One is a rod that when he throws it down, it turns into a snake. The other, if he puts his hand into his chest, pulls it back out, it's leprous, puts it back in, brings it out, it's clean. Pretty amazing signs. And you'd think after that, Moses would go. But no. He's got more excuses. Much like us. But Lord, you know, I don't talk very good. Nobody would ever ask me to be a speechwriter. Now he's kind of grasping at straws. And yet God doesn't get angry with him. God is spiritual, gentle. And he tells him, well, you know, your brother, Aaron, he's a good talker. I'll give him to you, and you tell him what to say, and then Aaron, the good talker, he'll say it for you. And just like us sometimes in our challenging of God's call. At a certain point in time, you run out of excuses, and then you get down to the real heart of the problem. And so finally, Moses reveals his real objection. He just looks at God and he says, send somebody else. And then we read, God got angry. And when God got angry, Moses went. You know, God does get to the law. But that's not where God started with Moses. Nor is it the way that we should start out when we encounter conflicts with others. We have a different goal in mind. And it's not just winning the argument. You know, I'm sure, you know, some of you probably know somebody in your life that's like that. No matter what the argument is, and no matter how poor their arguments are, they always got to get the last word in. You know people like that? Their goal is simply to win. But that's not us. Most of all, look at Jesus, who humbled himself to death. Even death on the cross. Boy, you want to look like a loser. Look at Jesus on the cross. And yet God was willing to do that. Not to argue us into obedience to him, but to win over our hearts. Minds. The goal is not simply for us to get others to conform to doing the right thing. Yes, God can accomplish that with thunder and lightning bolts and all the resources available to him, which are boundless. He could have just zapped Moses and said, I said it once, that's enough, get going. But that's not where God started. The world is all about winning. It's about getting others to do what we want them to do, and if we can't do it by, if you will, hook or crook, we'll do it by force. Because the world is not concerned with winning hearts and minds. But that is precisely God's aim is with us. We see it acted out in exchanges such as God's with Moses. Or look at God with Abraham arguing about Sodom and Gomorrah. But most of all, look at the cross. And what God endured, not just to gain obedience to him, but to gain our hearts. That we might know the depths of his love for us. The joys of the hope that he gives us in the resurrection. Yes, there is right and wrong. And our task on this earth is to speak ultimately both words of law and gospel to those around us. But we do so with a different purpose than the world tries to establish what it believes is right or wrong. Our goal is not simply to gain obedience. It's not just to win the argument. Do it just because I said so, or else. Our goal is Christians within the family, within all of our relationships. And even as we're simply bearing witness to the world about what is right, what is wrong, our goal is the goal of God himself. To change hearts and minds. To convince others of the love that God has for all human life. As he sent his son to die that the world might be saved. The tools with which you win hearts and minds are not violence, not insults, but sacrifice. Bearing each other's burdens. Testifying to the truth. With the spirit of gentleness. That others may know the wonders of the love that God has had for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.